and welcome on what's a very hot day here in Sydney. I'm Kirsten Todd and I'm sitting here in my office where it's 35 degrees. Yes, it is the hottest room in the house, and I'm contemplating whether I'll run or swim this afternoon. I did have a run on Sunday, which I really struggled with. Hot, humid, and it's a little bit smoky. That air quality continues to be poor to fair at best here in Sydney, and I know that other parts of the country are a lot worse off than we are. So I really found it hard to run on Sunday. I think the person I was with probably felt that I was about to keel over and die. And I'm finding I'm not so great at thermoregulation these days. I've never really felt the heat too badly, but I really do now. I've always had the cold. I also seem to feel the cold more these days. So what can you do? Firstly, you really need to allow for the hotter, more humid weather. You need to run to the conditions. You can't expect to maintain your pace that you can hit for an easy run in 20 degrees if you're running in 35 degree heat. It's just not possible. You're going to struggle. The next thing you know, you won't be running easy. You'll have done a much more fatiguing run than you'd planned, and it's going to take you a while to get over that, which could likely affect subsequent runs, so any workouts that you're doing later in the week. And not only that, you could struggle with it a bit mentally, because it's pretty tough kind of not, if you're not really conscious of it being hotter and you know, you have an understanding of why you've slowed down. So running on feel is much better in those circumstances, better than running on pace. And I know that that's if you can manage it. I do give paces, obviously, because in my experience, many people don't really know what easy feels like, particularly when they first start running for longer distances. I certainly didn't. I surprised myself with how slowly I could run, and I continue to do so. Normally your body's temperature is around 37.9 degrees, and once your core temperature reaches a degree hotter, 38.9 degrees, your performance is going to suffer a bit. Your body just can't cool itself properly. So what happens, blood starts to be diverted to the skin to help it keep cool, and that decreases the amount of blood going to the working muscles. And less blood to the working muscles means less oxygen to the muscles, which means your performance is going to slump a bit. Your brain comes into play here as well. The main function of your brain is to keep our bodies alive. So when the brain detects something going on that might be harmful to us, it tries to stop this from happening. And if the brain can detect that we're overheating, it's going to do everything in its power to stop that from happening. If your core temperature goes up to around 40 degrees, your brain's going to start to shut down the recruitment of muscle fiber. So you literally have less muscle at your disposal to do the work. That makes you slow down and stops your core temperature from escalating. Feeling the effects of heat as you get older, I mean, I joke about it a bit, but it actually is a thing. It's not just me. There was a study of I think it was roughly, I want to say 100 cyclists, but they were in the ages of 20 to 70. And it showed that the older subjects in the study sweated less than the younger ones, and that reduced heat loss through sweat was greater in the older age groups. It did level out about in the 40 to 44 age group. Also, that research found that differences in heat loss over the different age groups become more pronounced the longer the exercise goes on. So if you're an older runner running a longer race in hotter conditions, you're going to fare worse compared to younger competitors. So roughly for about every 5.5 degrees Celsius increase in environmental temperature, you can expect to slow down by about 6 to 10 seconds per kilometre, depending on your age and how well your body's cooling mechanisms work. And that sort of takes into account things like, you know, whether you're are acclimatised to the heat as well. So you need to take that into account when you're setting goal race times and also training paces. So I base a lot of my estimates of paces for you guys on 3K time trials or 5K races. So the long run pace I suggest for you might be between about 20 to 40% slower than that time trial or 5K race pace. So if you're running in temperatures that are 15 degrees hotter than your time trial temperature, you're going to need to slow your pace down quite a bit. So it's more than just 15 seconds per kilometre, because we work on a percentage slower than your 5K pace. So if your 5K pace is going to be 15 seconds slower per kilometre, your long run pace is going to be probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 seconds slower per kilometre, just really depending on what your pace was to start off with. Recovery can be a bit tougher. You might feel a bit sluggish just because your muscles might not be getting as much oxygen as normal, and because the blood's, you know, being diverted to the skin for cooling. Also, it can be harder to sleep in summer. You might just need to take an extra rest day sometimes in summer. There are a few things you can do to make running easier in summer. Obviously, you can run early in the morning before it gets too hot. Try running beside a large body of water, which is generally a bit cooler. Run in the shade as much as possible. And you can pre-cool yourself before you run. You can do things like staying air conditioning for as long as possible before you head out, which is obviously not an option for me. I don't have air conditioning in my house, which doesn't normally bother me that much. You can wet your hair before you go. You can wet your clothing. There's quite a lot of evidence to show that pre-cooling works. There was a study that showed that athletes who pre-cool before running in hot conditions were able to run an average of 304 meters further on a 30-minute treadmill run. Those pre-cooled athletes not only ran at higher speeds throughout the 30 minutes, but they were also able to finish more strongly. So if you look at it that in another way, if you ran a 5K race against a friend and you both had the ability to run 5Ks in extreme heat in 30 minutes, you could finish 300 meters in front of them just by pre-cooling your body. So I thought that the way pre-cooling works is that it increases the body's heat storage capacity, which delays fatigue, and that increased heat storage capacity means that you can complete a greater amount of work before your body gets too hot, but no one's really clear on how hot too hot is. But that muscle recruitment and inhibition by the central nervous system that I was talking about before, when your brain sort of detects that you're getting too hot, that plays a part in that improved performance from pre-cooling. There was a really great study of cyclists that had pre-cooled, and it had so that the pre-cooled cyclists and control groups performed a 40-minute time trial. The pre-cooled groups immersed their lower body in water for 20 minutes before the time trial, and those pre-cooled cyclists performed better than the control group. Their core temperature and their muscle and their skin and their mean body temperatures were lower in the pre-cooled athletes only up until the 20th minute of the time trial, but the performance between the two groups didn't start to differ until the last 10 minutes of the time trial, which was really interesting. And also the level of intensity selected by the pre-cooled cyclists and the non-pre-cooled control subjects was the same. So that if you were pre-cooled, you didn't kind of come out of the gates with all guns blazing. They just chose a level of exertion similar to that control group, but they were able to maintain that level of exertion for longer. And that's really where the performance differences happened, that the control groups performance dropped off rather than the pre-cooled group, you know, their performance didn't increase over the last 10 minutes. It's just that the non-pre-cooled group dropped off, and that's really the key to distance running or any endurance sport. It's maintaining performance over a sustained period. So as I said, to pre-cool, you know, you can do things like wet your shirt, wet your hair. You can immerse yourself in cool water, obviously take a cold shower, and the other thing you can do is eat slushies. Yes, eating slushies can pre-cool you. You do have to throw down quite a few, but it has been shown to be more effective than cold water immersion, and that's thought because that you're taking the slushies in through your mouth, which is closer to your brain, so it's actually pre-cooling your brain a little bit. Other things you can do, you can use a neck cooler, you know, one of those sort of crystally things that you wrap around your neck, and you can just eat ice rather than having a slushy, and or you know, like an ice block. Eat, like, if you need to actually eat about 6 ice blocks, so you might get a bit of brain freeze. Anyhow, what I will do is I'll put that slushy protocol in the notes for this podcast. And I'd be really interested to see how you think you're going with it.